is a member of the Disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ, a Franciscan religious community. She has a life-transforming, she had a life-transforming conversion after surviving the shootings at Columbine High School. She became Catholic at Franciscan University. After graduation, she worked one summer at Catholic Familyland and then went on to serve a year with Net Ministries and attend the Emmanuel School of Mission in Rome, Italy. She currently serves at the Ark and the Dove Retreat Center in Gibsonia, Pennsylvania, home of Baptism in the Holy Spirit. God has given her a passionate love for life and the desire to help lead others to the fullness of life. Sister Mary Gianna will be speaking on saying yes to God's plan of fulfillment. Welcome, Sister Mary Gianna.
Thank you for such a warm welcome. It's great to be here. So I worked at Catholic Familyland 13 years ago as part of, well, what was Apple Corps? Do we still have Apple Corps? No. I got to work in the snack shack and also Friar Tux, right? But you don't have that anymore. But back then, I really felt that one day I would come back here. So this is the fulfillment right now. So it's great to be here. As she said, my name's Sister Mary Gianna. I've been a religious sister for 8.5 years. I will show you a picture of some of the sisters from my community. Can anybody tell me the difference between that picture and me standing right here? Yeah, which, Francis. Okay, no good answer. Let's give her a clap. One clap. Ready? 1, 2, 3. You got it. Okay, the difference between the picture of me, so I'm in the top right, and right here. Anything different? Okay, what's your name? Michelle. Okay, so that's our summer habit, and this is our winter habit. The light color is more cool in the summer because it can get hot in Texas. We're from Texas. Prayer Town, Texas. We're the only ones that live there in the little town. There's about 40 of us. Anything different? Oh, let's give her one clap. Ready? 1, 2, 3. Okay, anything else? Yeah, what's your name? All right, let's give her a clap. So for us, when we make our final commitment, our final vows, we receive a blue band and then also a ring. For us, it says, Jesus is Lord. So this past August, I made my final vows after 8 years. So I've completely given my life to the Lord. Praise God. So God's really done an amazing work in my life, and I feel blessed to have the opportunity to share this story with you. Just a little bit about the community that God has called me to. Every religious community has a charism. How many of you are confirmed? All right. How many of you have not received confirmation? Okay. So as you go through confirmation, as you prepare for confirmation, you learn about the gifts of the Holy Spirit, right? We have the sanctifying gifts given at our baptism for our sanctification, but also at our confirmation, we receive the service gifts to help build up the body of Christ. Just as we each receive gifts in our own life, religious community receives a gift, a charism, made up of gifts for our sanctification, but also to build the body of Christ. So our charism is prayer. We live a deep life of prayer, praise. Our community prayer, our personal prayer is filled with praise to God. And then evangelization. Anybody know what evangelization means? What's your name? Jaylene? Beautiful. Going out and sharing the gospel with others. Let's give her a clap. All right. So that's a little bit about what we do. We do a lot of retreat work, Life in the Spirit seminars, confirmation retreats, parish missions, foreign missions. We seek to draw all people to a personal relationship with Jesus through the power and gifts of the Holy Spirit. Amen? Amen. All right. So today, oh, that was for my final vows. in August, just committing my life completely to the Lord. Up in the top left, lying prostrate, we sing the litany of saints. And then on the bottom left, that's me making my vows. Do you know what, as religious, what vows we make? Yes, what did Mary? You got it. Let's give her a clap. All right, so poverty. We don't have any, like, earthly goods so that our true possession would be Jesus. We follow Jesus, who, though he was rich, became poor so that we would be rich in him. Chastity. We don't get married to an earthly spouse to love God with an undivided heart, called to spiritual marriage and to be a spiritual mother. And then we also take a vow of obedience, the call to do God's will, to be obedient to God, but as his will is made known to our superior. So I didn't grow up thinking God would call me to religious life. Do you know what? I didn't even know what religious life was. I didn't meet a sister until I was 18. To be honest with you, I didn't know Jesus until I was 18. I wasn't raised Catholic. I wasn't raised with any faith. So for me, I had no idea God had a plan for my life. How many of us really believe God has a plan for our life? Cool. That's great. So what is God's plan for our life? Yes. You got it. Let's give her a clap. To be saints, we're all called to be saints. We're all called to be holy, right? We're all called to share God's life ultimately in heaven, but even in this life. But it's going to look different in each of our lives, right? How might we live this call to holiness? Yes. Okay, let's give her a clap. To unite our will to God's will. What are the different vocations? What does vocation mean? Yes. What's your name? Abby. Abby. Your calling. Calling from God. Let's give her a clap. Okay. So what might God's calling be? We're all called to holiness, but some of us might. Yes. What's your name? Yes. Bridget. Let's give her a clap. So most of us are going to be called to marriage, right? To lay down your life for one another, to help each other get to heaven. What else might God call you to? Yes, what's your name? Christine. Jay's single life. Let's give her a clap. Okay, and what else? Yes, way back there. What's your name? Shannon. To religious life. Let's give her a clap. Yeah, the Lord might call you to religious life. A closer following with the Lord, to follow Jesus, who was poor, chaste and obedient to God. Each of us have a calling, and even within those callings, each of our lives is so unique. I love the word from Scripture, from Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, that we are God's handiwork. We are God's work of his hands, his masterpieces. Each of us is so unique, unrepeatable, but I love the image that God wants to create a masterpiece with each of our lives. So often we can compare ourselves with one another. At least I did. I know I did. But to realize how unique each of us is, and God wants to fulfill his plan and purposes for each of our lives. So today I have three main points. First of all, God has a plan. Can you say that? All right, good job. Second is we can respond to God's plan. All right, your turn. And third, it's a plan of fulfillment. 1, 2, 3. All right, you got it. So God has a plan. As I shared with you, I had no idea God had a plan for my life. I didn't know who God was. Being raised without any faith, I had no idea who I was. I didn't know what life was about. I didn't know my purpose in living, like what life was about. I grew up in California. For me, at an early age, my first impression of the world was a dark and scary place. Because our house had been robbed a few times, and bikes were often stolen in front of my house. And my world was a world of fear. When I was 10 years old, I moved to Northern California. When I was 11, I moved to Colorado. Up until that point, I had always been accepted by people. I had no problems making friends. But for some reason, going from a poor area to more of a middle-class area, I found it more difficult to fit in. For some reason, I found that there were a group of girls on my street, and for some reason, it didn't seem like they were as welcoming as I experienced when I was in California. When I was in middle school, I would ride the bus, and there was a group of boys. For some reason, they would not let me sit where I wanted to, and they literally pulled me out of my seat. I tried to sit in the back of the bus, and that might have been part of the reason, but they would try to pull me out of the seat. They called me different names, names I would not want to repeat. But I felt like who I was with how they were treating me and the names they called me, I felt like my dignity as a person was being taken away from me. I grew to become very quiet, very obsessed with my self-image. It was all about fitting in. If only I look a certain way, be a certain way, then I will be accepted. And so going into high school, that was my world. Every weekend, every Saturday, every Sunday, literally, I was at the mall getting the latest clothes. My mom would be like, you know, some children go to church on Sunday, but you, my daughter, spend it at the mall. And I was like, people are wasting their time going to church when I could get the latest clothes to wear to school Monday. That was my world. It was all about what other people thought. If other people seemed to like me, then I had a great day. But if the opposite was true, that was like the end of the world. That was my life. And going into high school, I bought an outfit that my friend wanted. And because of that, kind of sounds ridiculous, but anyway, she stopped being my friend. And so that first day of high school, I went to sit with her and some of her friends that I didn't know too well. And that first day, we sat outside the cafeteria, and she just seemed to turn her back on me. And so for me, instead of just, I didn't want to worry about where I was going to sit, so I just decided, you know what, I'm just going to go to the library during my lunch hour. I'll just study during lunch. I won't have to worry about where I'm going to sit. And then it'll free me to play sports after school, hang out with friends. I'll get all my homework done and I won't have to worry about it. And so I started this routine of going to the library every single day my freshman year and my sophomore year in high school. And my sophomore year, I had 2 hours off for lunch every day. And I would meet my friend Rebecca and we would go to the library to study every single day, except one day. It was April 20th of 1999. I was 16 years old. And I was sitting in my art class right before lunch hour when all of a sudden I had this overwhelming urge to leave school. Just over in my head kept repeating, there's no way I'm staying here. There's no way that anyone's going to talk me into staying. I just was in this hurry to leave for some reason. Never had I experienced anything like that before. And as I said, normally I would meet Rebecca at her locker, we would go to my locker, we would go to the library. I was in such a hurry that I bypassed her locker, I went to my locker, and I ran into her in front of the library. And she was like, where were you? Like, we always met. And I tried to talk her into leaving with me. And she was like, you know we have a test next hour, we need to stay and study. And I said, well, why don't we go to a restaurant, we'll study there. And she said she had no money, and I said, well, I'll pay for you. And usually I would give in to other people, but for some reason, there was no way I was going to budge. So we walked out of the school. We got in my car. I had just gotten this car a week before. I wasn't supposed to get a car for another year. My brother had to wait until he was 17 to get a car. My parents wanted me to do the same thing. But for some reason, a week before this date, my dad had this change of heart, went out and bought me this car. And so we get in my car, and as we're driving away from school, I looked in my rearview mirror and noticed hundreds and hundreds of my schoolmates running out of school. At first, we had no idea what was going on. Eventually, one of my friends ran up to my car. He jumped in, and he's like, we got to get out of here. We don't know where the gunmen are. Well, I found out that there had been a shooting, that two of my schoolmates opened fire, killing 12 students, one teacher wounding 23 others before taking their own lives. How many of you have heard of Columbine High School? So that was my high school. Unfortunately, it was like one of the first, it was like the first major school shooting, and so much of school safety these days are really based upon what happened at my high school. And unfortunately, there's been, you know, a number of these since then. I found out that most of the shootings happened in the library where I was every other day for 2 years, except that one day. And I was like, why wasn't I there? Like, I always went to the library. Like, why that one day? And people were like, that was God. He has a plan for your life. Like, he's the one who gave you that urge to leave. And so I realized God existed, that he had a plan, but I didn't know who God was. No one shared with me the great God that we do have. And so the following year, they completely remodeled our high school. And we were welcomed back into our high school. And every day I would go back where the library was. And I would walk by and I'd be like, why wasn't I there? And so not knowing how to deal with everything that happened in my high school and still wanting to fit in, I fell into a group of girls where we started going to parties together. We started drinking, and I thought, if only I'm in a relationship, then I'm going to be happy. But I'd be at these parties, and it's like, this is not where I'm supposed to be. Like, it only led to more consequences and fears and worries. And I would reflect how God had saved my life that day as I sat there at these parties. And it's like, this is not where I'm supposed to be, but it's like, where do I go? Where do I turn? And so we had one thing after another happen at my high school. And by the end of my junior year, two things happened. First of all, one of my classmates, I didn't even know him. He found my picture and he put it all over Columbine High School. This is a year after the shootings. And he wrote, wanted, lazy eye. Because when I was born, this eyelid went down a little lower than this one. But I've had two operations on it, so you can't really tell. But for me, he focused on something that was an insecurity for me, or became an insecurity because of what he said. Right after that, one of my classmates took his life. And the thought occurred to me, like, he's in so much suffering, and he's in so much pain, and he took his life. Like, what do I do with all my suffering? What do I do with all my pain? And so my senior year, I just started isolating myself. I stopped going to parties, and I just completely hit rock bottom. My whole world had fallen apart. Like, things were hard at home, hard at school. And night after night, I would just cry myself to sleep. And the best way I can describe it is, like, I became harder on myself than anyone had been on me. Like, I became my own bully and became destructive, like self-destructive. Went through a lot of self-hatred. My world just came crashing down. And it was in those moments when I felt like I completely lost hope that one of my friends didn't even know she was Catholic. I had gone to parties with her. She invited me to the Catholic Church. A representative from Franciscan University of Steubenville was going to be there. How many of you have heard of Franciscan? There we go. How many of you have been on a Steubenville youth conference? Praise the Lord, that's great. So I went to church that night, and this representative from Franciscan, he's like, he tried to get me to go to school there, and I'm thinking, I'm not even Catholic, like, what are you doing? But that later seemed providential, because that's where I ended up going. But I met a youth minister that night, and she was so bright, so full of life. Like, I could tell she had something in her life that was missing in mine. She just, looking back, she radiated God's love. And she took the time to get to know me. Because, like, in my world, we were all focused on ourselves. But here she was taking the time to get to know me and ask me questions. And she ended up writing me a letter saying how great it was to meet me. And she started to take me out for coffee, where she started telling me about a God that passionately loved me. At first, I didn't think anybody could love me. I was going through so much self-hatred because of how I had been treated, and even more the lies I became to believe about myself because of what I experienced. But as she shared with me God's love, like God's love flowed through her, and I knew she loved me and she cared. And I was introduced to a lot of people my own age who had that same light. And I realized God did have a plan, that not only was God leading me out of Columbine that day, he was leading me to himself. And at first, I didn't think I was going to become Catholic. Like, I saw people receiving the body and blood of Jesus. Like, what is that? I've never heard that before. But as I went to Mass, I couldn't wait to receive Jesus in the Eucharist. Especially, I started going every day, even to the point of missing school, which I don't necessarily recommend that. But one of my friends took me to the Adoration Chapel. You know how you know what Eucharistic adoration is, right? Where they take Jesus, the consecrated host, Jesus in the Eucharist, and put him in the monstrance, and you can adore the Lord. Well, my friend took me to the Adoration Chapel, and she didn't give me an explanation or anything. But I walked in that chapel, and I felt the presence of God. And the coolest thing was, I left that chapel changed. Like, I had this hopelessness and despair, but walking out of the chapel, I started to have this, like, abundant life and this joy. It's like I wanted to dance for joy because God was alive and at work in my life. And I wanted to tell the whole world that Jesus is alive. I wanted everybody to know that. For me, going from no faith to realizing God does exist, it was like, let's tell the whole world, which is what evangelization is, sharing God's love with everybody. So I had this powerful experience. How many of you have seen The Passion of Christ? Okay, most of you. So youth group one night, our music minister, Steve Agrisano. How many of you know Steve? Any of you? Okay, he sometimes speaks at Steubenville youth conferences. But he led us in this meditation. We watched some of the scenes from The Passion of Christ when Jesus was being mocked at and scourged and beat upon. And he sung this song. So when I saw Jesus being scourged and beat up, it was like, this is a God that knows what it's like to suffer the way I was suffering. I had a flashback to when I was in middle school and I was treated like I was. And it's like God met me in that pain and the hurt and the suffering. And I was like, I wish I could have known the life that Jesus lived when I was going through my own passion at the time. And what Jesus did for us, that he laid down his life for us, that we might have life. Well, the music minister sung this song, How Could You Say No? And the words are, thorns on his head, a spear in his side, though it was a heartache that made him cry. He gave his life so that you would understand. Is there any way you could say no to this man? How could you look into his tear-stained eyes, knowing that it's you he's thinking of? Could you tell him you're not ready now to give him your life? Could you say that you don't think you need his love? Well, Jesus is here with his arms open wide. You can see him with your heart if you'd stop looking with your eyes. He left it up to you. He's done all that he can. Is there any way you could say no to this man? And in that moment, it was like I couldn't say no to him. I wanted to give him my entire life and choose to follow him and say yes to him no matter what. I realized God had a plan for my life, and I wanted to discover what that plan was, realizing we were given one life. And it's like, I want to say yes and discover the fullness of his plan. So I decided to give my life to Christ, and I went up to my other youth minister, and I told him. And he said, why don't you go to he's like, why don't you go to Franciscan University of Steubenville, where you would be immersed in the Catholic faith? Why don't you go to a Steubenville Youth Conference and we'll talk about it there? So I went to the Steubenville Youth Conference, and it was a whole nother world. Going from no faith to being like immersed. It was like a whole nother world, a whole nother dimension in life. But it was so beautiful. How many young people were truly living for God? It was amazing. Well, I had the opportunity to, at one point during the conference, you can just, they invite you to give your life to the Lord. And I made that commitment. I stood up and I gave my life to the Lord. Well, that same representative was there that was at youth group before. And he got up on stage and he said, it's not too late to go to school here. And my youth group, they're like, that's you. You need to go. And one of my friends took me by the arm and she's like, you're getting an application. She literally like pulled me over to go get one. Sometimes other people can see God's plan and purposes in our life. And sometimes the courage to help other people to see his plan, it's a great thing. So I asked my dad if I could go to Franciscan, and he's like, nope, there's no way we can afford it. But then a few days later, just like the whole car situation, he said, we'll do whatever we can to get you there. So I ended up going to Franciscan. I became Catholic at the age of 19. I was baptized, full immersion. I was confirmed and received First Holy Communion, all at the Easter Vigil. And it was just amazing, being plunged into God's life. And I was excited for this new life God had called me to. So that's how I realized God existed and that he had a plan. Oh, on the Franciscan brochure, it said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And I was so amazed because, like, there was the answer to all my life's questions. Like, I grew up not knowing who I was, what life was about, what I was living for, but Jesus was saying he was the way. All I had to do was follow him, and he was going to show me his path of life for my life. He was the truth. I had learned so many lies growing up, but he was the truth, and he wanted to speak his truth to my life of who I truly am, coming to know my true identity as a daughter of God, made us in his image, in his likeness. And as my youth minister said, she told me, you know, you're made in God's image, in his likeness. And if God created you, how could you call yourself junk? Because that's what I felt. I felt like I was just junk to be thrown away. But I was coming to know my dignity, my true identity in God, and that he was the life. God is light, and in him there is no darkness, and he is life. My world was dark. It was a life of fear. I had fallen into despair and hopelessness, but now God was like bringing this full and abundant life into my life. And it began this huge journey of saying yes to God and his plan. So what was my first point? All right, good job. Give yourself a round of applause. Round of applause. All right, second is, 1, 2, 3. We can respond to God's plan. I love the story of how God called Moses to lead the people out of Egypt into the promised land. And he led them one step at a time. So often I think we feel like we have to figure out our whole life's plan, what God is calling me to. How many of you have really asked God, God, what is your plan for my life? So often we try to figure out what we're going to do in life, but how many of us have asked God, what would you have me do? Praise God. Well, a lot of you. And I invite, if your hand's not raised, to really ask God, what is your plan? It'll set you on just a great adventure in your life. So he wants to lead us one step at a time. We don't have to figure out our whole life story, but just what's that next step that he's inviting us to take? So for me, I ended up going to Franciscan University. I was immersed in the Catholic faith. It was a whole nother world. And I saw these people at Franciscan who were totally on fire with their faith. And they kept talking about a retreat they went on, Born in the Spirit or Life in the Spirit, which is really just surrendering our lives to God to really receive the full and abundant life. How many of us have been baptized? Okay, and then a lot of us have been confirmed. If we've been baptized, we've received God's life in us. The more we surrender to God, the more full and abundant life we're going to experience, where God's love and grace that we received at our baptism and confirmation will really be stirred up. And so I realized God was inviting me to a personal relationship with him. It wasn't easy at first. I realized when I didn't pray, my life was a mess. But whenever I took time to pray, it's amazing how God put order in my life, how he revealed himself to me, and he revealed who I was. Like, he showed me, like, who I was, my identity, and his plan for my life. But it wasn't always easy to say yes. There were times that It was hard to make it through the day. But what kept me going was God has a plan. So I want to share with you a story that's really inspired me. Do y'all know what movie you're going to watch tonight? Should I tell them or keep it a surprise? Surprise. Well, it might kind of come out. We'll see. Well, okay, so any of you know who this young lady is? Do you know her name? Her name's Rachel Joy Scott, and she was one of my classmates, schoolmates. And her story really, really inspired me. Rachel, when she was very young, she had a sense that her life was going to have a major impact in the world. And she actually drew her handprint on the back of her dresser. And she said, one day these hands are going to touch millions of people's hearts. Well, a month before the shooting, when Rachel's father found out there was a shooting, he immediately came back to Columbine because he had two children there. Rachel, who was a year older than me, and then Craig, who was in my class. And when he was driving to Columbine, he felt like God was saying, this is a spiritual event. We're in a spiritual battle. We can say yes to God and we can turn away from him. And a month before the shooting, the two boys who did the shooting at my high school, they actually talked about how they wanted to start a chain reaction. Unfortunately, they were responding out of the anger. My brother worked with the two boys, and my brother said how Eric would come to work crying because of how he was treated. Now, that's no excuse, obviously, to do what they did. They were responding out of the anger, the hatred, maybe the unforgiveness. But that's the kind of chain reaction that they wanted to start. Unfortunately, you know, people have been inspired by what they did for a very bad reason. But what I want to focus on is the same month that they're planning that and they're talking about this, Rachel, she wrote an essay called Her Code of Ethics for a class. And she said, I have this theory that if one person can go out of their way and show compassion, it will start a chain reaction of the same. People will never know how far a little kindness will go. She wanted to start a chain reaction of compassion and kindness. She thought if she could touch one person's life, you would never know how far this would go, that it just might start a chain reaction. Obviously, that's God's kingdom. It's like a ripple effect. What happens when you throw a rock in a pool of water? It ripples out, right? Every choice we make can impact other people's lives. And Rachel really wanted to impact in a positive way, sharing God's love. She was the kid in school who wanted to reach out to the new kid in school, who wanted to reach out to those who had been bullied, to those who had no one to sit with at lunch. Right before lunch that day, the day the shootings happened, she drew this picture. Okay, so that was the back of, that was her handprint. These hands belong to Rachel Joy Scott and will someday touch millions of people's hearts. Right before lunch, she was drawing that picture of eyes with 13 tears. And there were 13 people who were killed, not including the two boys. And they're watering a rose. And in another picture, she drew a rose coming out of a Columbine flower. We're named, the high school's named after the Columbine flower, the state flower of Colorado. And I think of through something so tragic as Columbine that even God could bring life out of death. Just like the worst thing that could have happened was putting Jesus to death on the cross, but it led to our salvation. And so, as scripture says, that God can make all things work for good, that he never allows something to happen unless a greater good could come forth, so that even in the midst of this tragedy, God could bring even life out of death. Well, when her father found out there was a shooting, this man across the country called him and had a dream of Rachel weeping. And he asked, does this mean anything to you? And Rachel's father said no until this man said, well, if it does, let me know. Well, then he received her journal that had a bullet hole through it, and she opened it up. He opened it up and saw these eyes with tears, and it's like, wow, those were the tears that he had a dream about. So Rachel, her teacher saw this drawing, and Rachel said that she was inspired to draw it, that it's not finished yet, and that she felt like she was going to have a major impact in the world. And her teacher said, I have no doubt, Rachel. And so she walked out of school, and she was eating lunch with a man named Richard Castaldo. And the two boys that did the shooting came up to Rachel, and Eric shot Rachel and said, do you still believe in God? Because they knew she did. She tried to reach out to them. And she said, you know I do. And he continued to shoot Rachel and say, then go be with him. And I was so amazed of Rachel's story. I was like, I wish I could have been like that in high school, wanting to reach out to the new kid in school, etc., like to those who had been bullied, and to make that major impact in the world. And I was so amazed how she was willing to say yes and die for Christ. I thought, what would I have said? I could have easily been in school that day in the library. If I would have been faced with that question, what would I have said? I didn't have faith. Maybe I would have said whatever I thought they wanted to hear. But then I realized God knew this is where I would be today. And as she was able to say yes and die for Christ by living for him, I too can say yes. So I've given my whole life to the Lord. And want to say yes as Rachel did. To me, have that major impact in the world. How much the world needs that chain reaction of compassion and kindness. And I think even of those boys who did the shooting, that's what they needed too. God's love. That's what's going to change the world. God's love. That's the greatest weapon we have is God's love. And so I wanted to say yes to his plan. And as I've said yes to God's plan, I've been so amazed how he's leaded and guided, how he's led me and guided me. Again, it was one step at a time. And so when I was at Franciscan, to be honest with you, sometimes I thought, I wouldn't be surprised if God called me to be a sister because of how he had already worked in my life. How many of you have read the book Hamlet? Some of you. So I went to the play at Franciscan. They were performing the play, Shakespeare play Hamlet. And I was sitting in the front row of the play in the very front. And I'm just watching the play and entering it into it. When all of a sudden Hamlet actually kneeled down right before me in the play. He kneeled, he looked me in the eyes, pointed at me and said, get thee to a nunnery. And I'm thinking, no, God, is this all you're going to, is this your calling? Like, am I going to go back and be like, I was at a Shakespeare play and that's how God called me to be a sister? And really, after that, I'm like, oh no, God, are you really? Like, what's the chances that Hamlet would kneel and point right at me? Like, and I was probably tuning the whole play out until this guy kneels right before me. So I went to my spiritual director and I said, I think God's calling me to be a nun, a sister. And he said, don't worry about your vocation. Like, just focus on healing. Because I really did need a lot of healing. I was so broken. I was so wounded. Like, to be honest with you, it's amazing where I am today. Every day was a struggle to survive. God's really done an amazing work. There's always hope. There's always hope. God can make something so beautiful out of very difficult, trying circumstances. Do you know the song, Something Beautiful? How take all the broken pieces, put it into the hands of God the Father. Like, he can make something so beautiful out of all the pieces. So, as I took time to pray, God would speak his truth. He really did. And just bring healing. And so what I started to notice at Franciscan, I started to realize I had three desires surfacing. The first desire is I wanted to go deeper in my faith. Second, I felt God wanted to use me to bring other souls to Christ like my youth minister did for me. And I felt like God wanted me to share my story of how he had worked in my life, to share my testimony. And as I'm having these desires, someone asked me, well, why don't you, someone said you should do NET ministries. How many of you have heard of NET? Okay. There's a lot of... Okay, so before that, Rachel's story has touched millions of people's hearts, just like she felt God was calling her to. And I believe God wants to use each of us in a powerful way, too. But her family goes into schools with Rachel's challenge and really encourage people, like, who's going to continue to carry the torch that Rachel did to start that chain reaction of compassion and kindness? Go out of your way to make people feel welcomed at school. Like, what can we do to do what Rachel did in our schools? And there's a movie that recently... there's a movie that recently came out. It's a great movie. I'm not ashamed. I love it. Maybe you'll have the opportunity at some point. I don't know when to watch it. Maybe I'll pray that God gives you the opportunity. Okay. So I served a year with Net Ministries. I'm in the back middle, right? Like in the middle. I think you can tell, right, where I am? Okay. So I Net Ministries, National Evangelization Teams, every year they send one to like, two, I think it's up to like 200 plus people across the country to put on retreats for middle school and high school students. You travel in a 12 or 15 passenger van and you lead, you give talks, testimonies, skits, dramas, lead small groups. It's an awesome opportunity. And I know there's great opportunities here. There's so many out there. When you say yes to God, it's amazing what He can do. So I'm serving with Net Ministries, and my team leader, she's up in the front, right? Her name is Mary Gabriel. And I'm only telling you her name because she has a perfect religious life name. And she loved religious life. And she kept... My legal name is Janika. But when you become a religious, you may receive like a new name. My new name is Sister Mary Gianna. But she'd be like, Janika, I think you should be open to religious life. And I'd be like, Mary, I'm not called. I'm called to get married. I'm going to have 12 children. I had it all figured out. And she'd be like, you're not open. And I'd be like, Mary, I am. If God wants it, I'll do it. But He's not calling me. And I'd be like, Mary, you should be open to marriage, because she loved religious life. Well, it's so funny because she's married with children. Not 12 yet, but a couple. And here I am. So her initials were MG, and now my new initials are MG, Sister Mary Gianna. But after I did Ned, I had another friend that said the same thing. You should be open to religious life. And I'd be like, I'm not called. And she'd be like, you're not open. And I'm thinking, why is she saying the same thing Mary did? But I realized I didn't need to worry about my vocation. God had already led me when I didn't even know Him. Like that day at Columbine, I didn't have faith. But God reached out to me. He loves us so much that He reaches out to us. He never had to reveal Himself to me, but He saved my life that day. He led me. That was like the Holy Spirit leading me, or my guardian angel, or however you want to describe it. God was at work that day leading me. How much more that I was saying yes to God and His plan would He lead me and guide me? And that He did after just being faithful to God. Every day I would go to Mass. I would go to confession often, and I would take time to pray every day. And I would just pray, Lord, open the doors you want open, close the doors you want closed. It was when I was 25 years old. It was in the summer of 2008 that I just experienced a lot of healing. And that's when God's love just broke through in my life. I was just like plunged into God's love and life. He was so real, so personal, so close. And my faith just came alive. And I would be sitting in prayer and just experiencing God's love such a personal way. And I remember thinking, if this is all there is to life, I'm okay with it. I was so filled in God's love. St. Augustine said, our hearts are restless until they rest in God. And so I realized what he meant by that. I was finding my rest in God Himself. I just had a good sense that this was going to be a great year. And I ended up, we had to, have you heard of Theology on Tap? It's for college students. So they have like talks, testimonies, question and answering. They meet at a restaurant, go deeper in their faith. We took that to the state fair and called it theology on a stick because everything's on a stick at the state fair. But I volunteered. My job was to contact different religious communities and request information for this vocation table. And I'm thinking, why? like I don't know about religious life. It's so dark, foreign to me. I know nothing. I don't even know where to begin. But as I contacted these different communities, I started to see why someone would be attracted to religious life. It was so beautiful, and it's like, I wouldn't mind being called to religious life. Well, what happened was so I was playing third base. I love softball. And this big guy got up to bat. He slammed the ball. I tried to catch it. My whole hand shocked. Like, I couldn't move it. So that whole weekend, I was just in my home, and I couldn't even, like, move the doorknob. So I just opened this book by Father Benedict Rochelle, and he says, instead of asking God why something happened, ask God, what would you have me do? And so instead of reflecting on my life, why did this happen or that happen, I simply ask God, what would you have me do? Immediately, I had the desire to sell everything I have and follow Jesus. And with this, everything. Remember my days in high school going shopping every weekend? Now it's like I wanted to sell everything and follow Jesus. And with this desire came the words, I just want to be a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ and follow him. And that's what we're called. We're called disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ. And now I don't have to worry about what I wear every day. It used to take me like an hour. And I would always go back to the very first outfit I tried on after like 20 or 30 outfits. Maybe not that many. I don't think I had that many. But I ended up going to the Cathedral of St. Paul in St. Paul, Minnesota. It's like a palace. It's so beautiful. And it was the year of St. Paul, and I just prayed before the Lord in the Eucharist. And I said, Lord, help me enter into Mass in a way I've never experienced before. All through Mass, it's like God just flooded my soul with his grace. And I looked up and I felt God's presence before me. And I felt like he was calling me to be his bride, to love him with an undivided heart, and to lead other people to experience his love. From that moment on, my life was changed. Like, God opened my eyes to the beauty of religious life. I walked out of the chapel changed. All I desired was religious life. And it was beautiful. There was just this great freedom to give God everything. And at the same time I felt called to religious life, I also felt God was calling me to another year of missionary work. And I went to Rome, Emmanuel School of Mission. It's a small missionary program. 20 of us from all over the world studying, doing missions, evangelizing. It was a great experience. But one of my favorite things to do was to run around St. Peter's Basilica and just stand before St. Peter's and just give my life to Christ and in service to the church, saying, God, whatever you want, I'm yours. So I ended up entering right after that. That's a picture of our community. We love to play music and lead people into praise and worship. But I visited our community, and I had so much peace. Like, I felt like this was where God was calling me to respond to his grace and calling. And it's been such a journey, a beautiful journey. I'm realizing that God's plan is a plan of fulfillment. Like, he does have a plan. And I hope what God's done in my life encourages each of us that he does want to lead us ultimately to heaven, to share his life there, but even here in this life. The more we surrender our lives to the Lord, the more we're going to realize the full and abundant life that he has for us. And so I just encourage each of us to really say yes to his plan. God's been fulfilling the desires of my heart in a way I never imagined. I wanted to get married and have a family. That was a natural calling, and it's very natural to desire that. But he was calling me to a supernatural calling, to the spiritual marriage, which we all are called to be in union with God. But he was calling me to love God with an undivided heart and to be a spiritual mother. And I see that by God calling me to this calling, really, I desire to have more than 12 children. Like, I wanted to embrace, like, the whole world, really. And by this calling, like, to embrace so many souls, it's such a gift. And so I realized that Mary, My friend Mary, she saw the deeper desires in my heart. She was able to recognize that. And I praise and thank God for that. So my encouragement for each of us is to really take delight in the Lord. Like when we delight in the Lord, take delight in Him, He's going to grant us the desires of our heart and who He's created us to be. My favorite scripture passage is, He will show us the path to life. Amen? Okay, so I want to do a little activity really quick. When I went to Franciscan to the summer youth conference, I had the opportunity to stand up and really give my life to Christ. And I want to give you the opportunity right now to do that as well. Some of you may have had the opportunity to really say yes to God, to stand before the Lord, and really commit your life to the Lord. And so I want to give that opportunity. If there's anybody here that's never really stood before the Lord and just said yes to Him like Mother Mary did. Once Mother Mary said yes to Him, God gave her every grace she needs. She would be filled with the Holy Spirit, that it was going to be God's work. And so with us, we say yes to Him, He's going to give us the grace. And so I invite anyone here right now, if you'd really like to just stand and commit your life right now, I'll lead you in a prayer of commitment. So if there's anybody who would like to stand and just give your life to the Lord, I invite you to do that now. Praise God. Okay, so first I'm going to lead each of you who would like to really commit your life for the very first time. And then I'm also going to lead all of us to a deeper commitment too. But for now, we'll lead you in a prayer of commitment so you can repeat after me. Lord Jesus, I praise you and I thank you for the gift of life, for calling me to yourself, for this full and abundant life that you have for me. I desire this day to commit my life to the Lord. I ask that you would forgive me of all my sins, for all the ways that I have turned away from you and chosen lesser goods. I ask for your forgiveness right now. Jesus, I ask you to be the center of my life. I welcome you personally as my Lord and the Savior of my life. I give my life to you right now. And I ask for the full and abundant life that you have for me. I ask for a fuller release of your love in my life. I ask you, Holy Spirit, to fill and empower me to live as a child of God. I want to have your grace to truly live a new life. I say yes to you and your great plans for my life. And we ask all this in your name, Jesus. Amen. Praise God. Let's give them a clap. Okay, I want to invite everybody to stand up. To just giving our life again this day in a deeper way, more than we have ever been. So we can just say, Lord, I just recommit my life to you this day. I'm asking you, Lord, to show me the path of life for my life. Help me know your presence this day and every day. Grant me every grace I need to truly do your will and to live out the vocation that you have for me. Ultimately, the vocation of love. I say yes to you and your great plans for my life. And we ask this in your name, Jesus. And everyone says, amen. All right. You can give yourself a round of applause. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. All right, you can go ahead and sit down. So praise God. I believe, honestly, God has such great things in store. When we say yes to God, He is limitless in how He wants to lead and guide us. So at this point, I just want to, do you all have any questions? Anybody? This is your opportunity. Any questions you've ever wanted to ask a sister or whatever you heard today? Yes. Okay, so the question is, like, once I entered religious life and everything, did I ever regret this, like, choice to enter religious life or miss something else? Yeah. Kind of? Yeah. Is that good enough? Or? Yeah. Okay. What really helped me to be able to enter religious life? It was a huge leap of faith for me because I was thinking, okay, I'm going to enter and that's going to be my life forever. And for me, that was hard, like, can I do this? But I realized it's a discernment. I would go to religious life. You don't make your final commitment until probably at least 7 years. There's different steps, from being an aspirant to postulant to novice, first vows, final vows. I realized I can go, and if it's not for me, I can leave. But I felt God, I needed to respond. God was giving me an invitation, and I needed to really go and see if this was God's will. So if I go and I love it, I'm going to want to stay. Well, after 8.5 years, here I am. But did I ever doubt or wish I chose something else? There were times that I continued to ask the Lord, Lord, is this your plan? And like over and over, I felt like He was saying yes. To the point that if I left, I felt like I would be turning away from God's plan. I had free choice. I could turn away. But for me, because God showed me, like, God saved my life that day at Columbine, and He made me realize, like, He has a plan for my life, but also for each of us. If He saved my life, I'm only here because He saved my life. He still had a plan and purpose for me in this life. And I asked Him, like, Lord, why did you save my life? And I felt like He said, I wanted you to come to know me even in this life. And to share my love with others. So I felt that I really needed to say yes. That God's plan for my life was bigger than just me. Because I could leave and get married, but I don't think I would have been happy as much as that. I really feel like this is God's calling for my life. And so I could leave and get married, and I don't know what would have happened if I would have done that, or who knows if I don't know how that would work. But I felt like by embracing religious life, that this would fulfill the life that He's called me, that this was His plan for my life, and that God was going to use me to touch a lot of people's lives too. And so I felt like it was so more, I couldn't just think about myself, but I really felt God wanted to use me to touch many people's lives. And I wanted to say yes to the full plan that God had. Does that make sense? Any other questions? Yes. Okay, how did I know I wanted to join this community? So I have met different religious communities at different points. That vocation table that I had to set up, I kept two brochures. And those probably, when I did Net Ministries, my team leader, Mary, she talked a lot about this community. And so when I felt called to religious community, this was one of the first I looked into. But I visited different ones, but especially the two brochures I had. And I visited the other community. I could not sleep at all. By the end of like the 5 days I was there, I was in tears. I was so emotional. It was very emotional for me. I felt like my whole life was going to be an obstacle for some reason to if God called me there. That's just what I felt. When I visited our community, I slept so well. I felt God's presence, and I felt like he was going to use my whole story for his glory. And when I visited our community, I started to see how God even prepared me for our community. We do a lot of evangelization, and my experience with Net Ministries and then going to the School of Mission in Rome, it just seemed like he made it clear. I visited a cloister community, and they heard about my mission experience, and they're like, you're not called to a cloister. But it was just, I just knew. You go and see, and it's, you just feel home. I felt like time stopped when I visited our community. I just entered into the life. And after a few days of being there, the vocation directress was like, if you asked for an application, I would give you one. And I'd be like, you can give me one. But I was hesitant to ask for one. Because of my experience visiting the other community, I felt like he was just shutting that door. But now he was opening the door. And so when I went to Rome, I went to Assisi, where St. Francis of Assisi is from. And we're Franciscan. And I felt like God wanted me to take steps through that year to enter. And I had to raise, I had a lot of college debt. I had up to about $50,000. And I was like, why do you want me to go to Rome? Like, I need to pay off my debt. But I felt like God was saying, if you're faithful to me, I'm going to take care of everything. And I, after coming back from Rome, I entered a month and a half later. He sent people to help me. I raised all that in a month and a half. So God just opened wide the door. But as I took time to discern, I felt he was calling me to a community that was Franciscan, and we're Franciscan, charismatic, which means open to the power and gifts of the Holy Spirit. I felt called to a community that was contemplative, a deep life of prayer, but also missionary. And so that's what we are, and he just made it clear. Any other question? Yes. My major at Franciscan, you're wearing a Franciscan University sweater too. Do you go there? Or you're going to? You'd like to? Cool. I went there, I think, studying theology, because that's what I think a lot of people go to study theology. And I wanted to be some kind of youth minister. But the RCIA instructor my freshman year, she encouraged me to do something I was more comfortable with, in the sense of I hadn't even really opened a Bible before then, and here I was going to study theology, which God could have given me the grace, but I ended up studying biology. I started with nursing after that, and then I graduated with biology, which is the study of life. And I like that. He's transformed my life from despair, hopelessness, to a full and abundant life. And so learning about life was just, it was beautiful. Anyone else? Yes. What was the quote from Father Groeschel book? It's a good quote for us all to ask. What would you have me do? So instead of reflecting on our life, instead of reflecting on your life, why did this happen? Instead of reflecting why, ask God, what would you have me do? So for me, instead of reflecting, why did this happen or that happen, or why did the shootings happen at my high school, instead of asking the question, why, to ask God, what would you have me do? Because so often we can ask, like, why did this happen or that happen, or really struggle through things, which is good in the sense of asking God to speak his truth. But even more, like, God, what would you have me do? Because oftentimes he'll have us be solutions to things in life, to help make a difference in the world like Rachel did. Yes. After becoming a sister, what was your greatest challenge or your greatest joy? after becoming a sister, what was my greatest challenge and my greatest joy? I would say my greatest challenge was believing in God's promise for my life. I have felt that God wants to use me in a powerful way too, like Rachel. And oftentimes he'll put desires on my heart, or I feel like he's preparing me, and that being patient for God to fulfill that. And I see that all I have to do is be faithful. And if he's preparing any one of us for anything, he's going to make us ready for that by his providence and just saying yes. So there might be things we feel called to do and it's like, how are we going to do that? Well, he's going to give us everything necessary to fulfill that plan. So that was greatest joy. Greatest joy. I think the relationship that God wants to have with each of us, that we have a God who loves us and a personal God who we can learn to listen to his voice, to have a relationship. The deep relationship he wants to have with us, but also living in community and growing in the relationship with my sisters. It's been beautiful. Is it okay if we have a few more questions? Or okay, two more. That's a good question. How did Rachel know? Okay, Rachel was asked if she believed in God. How did people know what she said? So she was having lunch with a man named Richard Castaldo. Richard was shot, but he survived. Unfortunately, he's left paralyzed, but he was left to be able to tell that story. Right after it happened, he shared what Rachel had said. So he was able to share that. There was another girl that was asked if she believed in God too. At first they thought it was Cassie Bernal, and there's a book about her called She Said Yes. But now they believe it was a girl, Valene, who's actually alive this day and is able to share her story. But Michael W. Smith wrote a song about Cassie, and it's so beautiful. It talks about that this was her time, this was her dance. She lived every moment, left nothing to chance. She swam in the sea, drank of the deep, embraced the mystery of all she could be. And like, what would? And then it goes on to like how she said yes, and faced with that question, what would we say? And he goes on to say, this is our time, this is our dance, to live every moment, leave nothing to chance, swim in the sea, drink of the deep, embrace the mystery of all we can be. Amen? So we'll go ahead and finish with that. And then I know that you're going to have another little activity now that we can go deeper in what we heard just now.